And I think the lack of definition on the emergency is what makes it so applicable to the real world as an allegory. You know, it's like keep people in line with, you know, wars or politics or, you know, whatever the theory is, whatever the thought is. And if you keep people scared enough, then they will stay in line and keep towing the line.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hey, yo, Ted, we got a mob week this week, I guess. I don't know, but I'm trying to be fake here, and I guess I'm doing a good job at it. It's episode 165.
You're doing your Tony That's Soprano. It.
Bada bing. Hey, Ted's giving it away.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's all right, because nobody knows, see, because they're like, Soprano? That was like from 06.
Is this a rerun? Is this a rerun of Trailer Junkies?
This is a Trailer Junkies prequel.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, from back in the day when before we were recording. Yeah, how you been?
Good, you?
Since Monday, short week.
I know, short week. Short week, watching stuff, work, school. Well, not school, work, camp. Oh, man, and then today, I'll just get into my week a little bit.
All right, well, hold it. That sounds rough. I think we might need to crack a beer.
All right, you crack beers. Crack beers.
Yeah, so go for it since, you know, you're over here vomiting rainbows.
I have my T-shirt on.
Your T-shirt.
From Gravity Falls.
That's it.
With the gnome who vomits rainbows.
There you go.
And I know Jimmy likes gnomes because your little guy is a gnome on all your avatars.
Oh, my beer stuff. Yeah, my avatars. It's Uncle Fugles.
Uncle Fugles. And then I get more comments on this T-shirt than most of the others.
You got another one tonight.
I know. I got one from you. But I get one from strangers. Strangers walk by me, and I forget what I'm wearing a lot.
Do they even know who he is?
They do. So most of them do.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then so today's thing was, okay, but wait, okay. So beers. McLeod Ale Brewing Company, Deal with the Devil IPA. So it's a Van Nuys. It's a Van Nuys company. It's Deal with the Devil.
Okay.
It's a little 12-ouncer. We had some religious friends over for dinner last night.
Oh, so you're in temperance movement?
No. This is the beer that my
oh
that
deal my, with the devil
religious
I gotcha.
Friends bought
okay.
as a joke for okay. us to share last night.
Gotcha.
And then I said,
"Is that the priest dude?"
Yeah, I had a couple of priests okay. over for dinner last night. So
couple of priests. Look at this guy. You're like, bless me for the show so Jim doesn't. So what's the ABV and all the good numbers?
All right. So the ABV is 7.5 and it has Apollo Chinook. How do you say that? Chinook. Summit, Mosaic, and Altus. So I like the hops, the hop schedule, or not schedule. Is that schedule or?
The hop schedule is the time that they go in the boil, but it's the hop recipe in a sense, right?
The variety, the hop variety, yeah.
The variety, yeah. The hop varietal, there you go. Yeah, I have Bottle Logic.
Oh, I love Bottle Logic.
Yeah, so this is Double Actuator.
Oh, and Bottle Logic, they kill on ABVs. What you got there?
Yeah, 2X IPA India Pale Ale.
That's a double digit.
It's a DIPA.
Oh.
8.5% ABV.
Okay.
So not super high.
No, not as high as I thought.
80 IBU, and it's just a pint, you know. So it's yeah, I don't know. It looks amazing. I can't wait to try it. I was over at the back room today.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. I was over at the back room and I got this and five others to go along with a bunch of other beers that are down and waiting to be had for our show. And I told Sandy over there, I said, oh yeah, I got 6 weeks worth of beer. And she said, 6 weeks? Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And she said, 6 weeks? And I told her, you know, they were show beers and that we have this podcast. And she said, a podcast?
She didn't know you had a podcast? How could you not have told her?
I tell her every time I buy beer at Show Beers and I have a podcast, and she has the same reaction every time.
Oh, no.
So she said, how many people listen? I said, well, hard to tell. You know? I said, but there's a few. And so, you know, I told her about the beers and stuff. And so she was all excited that I have them on the show.
Nice.
And she said, do you ever tell people where you get them from? I said, every week.
Why don't you listen, Sandy? And then
that's what I told her. I said, every week. I tell them I get them from Valley Brewers. I said, would you like to be a sponsor of the show?
She could just sponsor with beers. That's all she has to sponsor with.
Yeah, and seeing as Solvang is a tourist destination and people go from over the place, maybe we could do like a coupon code on this. I'm thinking out loud right now. I never really thought about this until now. So maybe we could do something like that. And anybody who listens and goes to Solvang and walks in could say, hey, I heard it over on Trailer Junkies podcast. And bam, three beers. I don't know, half off on beer or whatever.
Something.
It is,
but something.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. So, okay, you said you had a rough week and we needed to crack a beer. What's going on?
Yes. So not a rough week, but a rough day. And it wasn't even a rough day. Like, you know, with the fathers last night, we did drink a nice amount as the family.
What was last night?
Just having the, so one of our priest friends is going to school in Vatican City.
Oh, wow.
So he's back for summer break.
Okay.
So he's, you know, with his family here, but he came by last night.
How does one befriend a number of priests?
Well,
that's all I got to
do. You know, you go after mass and you shake hands and you just strike up conversation.
You tilt back a few wine little things.
Little wine.
What do they call those? Symptoms.
No, we don't do the little ones. I think that's more for like the Methodists and stuff like that. I did that growing up, the little individual wine shot glasses.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, no, we just befriended him and he's, you know, our main pastor is like kind of a foodie, so we talked about, you know, foodie stuff. And he's like, oh, you know, so so here and there, you know, he hangs out and so that's how you befriend them. They're people too, which is kind of weird, but
well, of course,
but they
yeah.
are. So we were drinking last night and Anna and I woke up this morning and we're like, you know, like hungover, but you know, but made it through the day. And then at the end of the day, took off a little early from work and took off like I was actually at work, but you know, I'm at home, but but anyway, I was like, I checked out early from work, talked to my boss, and he was like, hey, you know, whatever. And I said, I have Audrey has her first swim meet of the summer, you know, so she had a swim meet in the summer. But I mean, pools at, you know, at 3:34 in the afternoon here in the valley are like death traps. It's like so hot. It wasn't even that hot today, but you're just out on the concrete and there's one of those, I don't know what they're called, toss-ups or something, right? They're like the big,
I have no idea,
tent. They're like just a tent that has just the cover.
Oh, like an easy up.
An easy up. Yeah, I still call them a toss-up.
Toss-up.
Like a jump ball that's basketball.
Like, is he tossing rings? I mean, I don't know. Is Audrey jumping through flaming hoops? It's a toss up.
So
don't know.
I was under that for most of the time, but it's still hot. And then they ask for time, volunteers to time the swimmers. And I try to shy away from doing that, you know, and I wasn't feeling too great. So, but Bryce is like, I want a time. It sounds like fun. And I was like, it's not fun, Bryce. You know, it's fine, whatever. So since he volunteered, I just said, I'll go with him, you know? So, but when you're timing, you're out in the middle of the heat and the sun and it's like, oh, you're supposed to do a 20 minute session. And of course nobody comes to spell you and you're just out there for like 30, 45 minutes. And then it's going beyond that and you're just looking around.
And this is an outdoor pool?
Outdoor pool. Yeah. The middle of the Valley Sun in Encino.
Oh, in Encino. Okay.
Yeah. So I was doing that and just, I don't know.
Like 110.
It felt like it. It felt like it. And
is she burnt?
She slathers herself with sunscreen.
Yeah, but isn't that like illegal because you can flow through the water faster?
I don't know. I don't know. But it was, yeah, no, I don't think so. I think it's all good.
I have no idea.
But it was fun. It was hard to get back into the swing of it. So we're back to swim parents, you know, yelling at the kids in the water, yelling at Audrey in the water to, you know, hurry up, go stronger, finish strong. So that was fun. Fun, but draining, you know?
Nice. So did she have some good times?
Yeah. She's, you know, she's been out of the water this whole COVID time. So I think she's only been back in the water for a month. And she came in second place in most of her heats. And then her least favorite stroke, she was in fourth place. But, you know.
Let me guess. Backstroke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you did. Was it the back? No. Her worst stroke is her butterfly, I believe. Butterfly is the worst.
Oh, butterfly. Okay. Because she does breaststroke is her favorite or her best.
Yes. You know that. Yes. Good job.
And freestyle, she does okay.
She does okay. I think freestyle like is tiring to her. And I think it's pedestrian, you know, like everybody does freestyle, you know.
Everybody does freestyle, yeah. Butterfly, though, if you could do butterfly.
I think breaststroke and butterfly. I was surprised that she didn't like butterfly and she likes breaststroke. To me, they.
Because it's very, they're kind of similar.
They seem like they're cousins, you know what I mean? They're. So. Anyway, how's your week? You do anything?
You know, short week. I mean, we recorded Monday. It's now Friday, so we didn't have a lot of time to do anything. But it was good getting stuff done around the house. Tim had a doctor appointment. I mean, like, you know, just family stuff. I did go back to Valley Brewers, as I mentioned, where I got the beers. And I bought a... Have you ever had Wookiee Jack?
No, what's that?
No, it's Firestone has Wookiee Jack. It's kind of like a black IPA.
Okay.
Right? It's like a stout IPA in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hops. I mean, a ton of hops. So I'm looking forward to brewing that. And yeah, I mean, you know, other than that, like I said, short week, there's not a lot you could do. We watched a lot of stuff.
Oh, good.
So that's been exciting. And we could get to that a little bit. But I'll have to say our first trailer for the night was a hit. Speaking of the boys, was a hit. I mean, they were beside themselves laughing.
Awesome.
They were loving it. I mean, the giggles and the laughter was, you know, just profound. So I think we're going to have to go see this one when it comes to the theater and everything. But Clifford the Big Red Dog.
So I love that you and the boys and your family love this. And then I watched it and I was like, this is ridiculous.
I think what I liked, though, to start with was the John Cleese old school VO.
Oh, yes. It was nice.
It was kind of that In a World.
Throwback. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, when you believe in magic and the mat, you know, it's like however he comes across, right? It's that old school, like, trailer VO. And I love that.
And it's so funny because I think I'm finally, you know, Bryce is a sensitive guy and he likes a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I think this is finally like a something that will be popular for the single digit kids.
Like mine.
Like yours. And it hits them right exactly where they want to be.
Oh man, were they into it.
And yet I think my whole family is just like, nope, thanks. I don't need this. It looks a little...
Really? I mean...
He looks a little cheesy as like this big puppy thing. You know what I mean? I don't know.
The whole thing is cheesy. He's chasing the guy or... I don't even know what it was. Guy or gal in the inflatable ball. And then licks up and burps out the little dog. I mean... It's so cheesy. It's so ridiculous. If I didn't have single digits, like you call them, I wouldn't watch this at all. But man, my kids were just like, oh, OMG, we're going. September 17th.
Mark it on the calendar, Dad. We're going to the theaters.
That's it. Right after Labor Day. You know, I mean, like, they were into it. So you think it's ridiculous because of the CGI or what? Why?
Yeah, the CGI, the red dog, you know what I mean?
He's too red.
He's too red and he's doing stuff and he's like reacting to stuff in the room and... There's the whole melee the first time the dad beats the dog and stuff. And I guess it's, you know, it's ridiculous and it was fun. And
do you think he's too big?
No, I think if I remember correctly from the books, he was that big. It's just,
oh, okay.
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like Curious George when they I think they did a live adaptation of Curious George with like Will Ferrell or something. And
they did. Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, what do you have to do? It's like he stole the man in the yellow coat's hat or something. You know what I mean? Like, what went on in the Clifford books that's movie worthy? And you have to plus it out. And I think recently we watched Tom and Jerry, the movie.
There's a movie?
There's a movie, Tom and Jerry. If you had HBO Max, you would see it. But but I think it's gone now. But it wasn't, you know, it's another one. It's like... I think
like a frying pan to the face and then it's all flat.
Yeah.
And
it's
all the Tom and Jerry tropes.
Tom and Jerry tropes. But then it was mixed. The Tom and Jerry were cartoons, but then everything else was live action. So it was this mixed action with Tom and Jerry cartoons.
Actually, it sounds cooler than I think what it might be.
Yeah. And see, this is in that same place. I think there's going to be comedic moments, but I'm not in there like you guys. You guys have pre-sold the tickets to you. You know what I mean?
Dude, this is so in our wheelhouse right now. You know, it's funny though. 5 years, boom, it's over.
I know. And that was kind of what I was getting at. I was like, I was not nostalgic. Like, I saw this and I just dismissed it. And I was like, oh, well, let's talk about it because we don't talk about kids' movies too much. And this is kind of one where I was like, did this do its job? And I was thinking that it didn't for me, but I'm not the audience. It did its job for the audience, your boys.
Right. And I think what's so amazing about it is, and like you said, the single digits, right? I think the 4 to 9 year olds, 3 might be a little bit young, but the 4 to 9 year olds, I think, like you said, single digits. Once you hit 10, it's like I'm moving on.
Yeah.
But man, when I put on the trailer, and I mean, the giggles were just it was ridiculous.
That's awesome.
The giggles. And I thought, okay, yeah, we got to go see this, you know. But I agree with you. I mean, I think there's a few things about it, like the John Cleese voiceover and his character. It brings back more of a nostalgic trailer trope.
The voiceover.
With the guy talking about magic and you have to go see it for the magical hijinks or whatever that play out. But that was, I mean, that's the only trailer critique or whatever that I have of it is just, I think they did it. I think they knocked it out of the park with that because he has that voice. And he's like the granddad now.
No, it's great.
He's not the funny flying circus guy, you know? So, all right. You have HBO Max still, right?
I do. Going strong.
I think we finally need to get HBO Max. You know why? I've never seen The Sopranos.
What?
I'm telling you, I've never seen The Sopranos.
What? I will say that I gave up on The Sopranos halfway through, but I did. I watched those first.
Was it like 8 seasons?
Maybe, I think 8 or 9 or something like that. I probably gave it up season 5. I don't remember, you know, much.
Okay.
But I was the beginning of it was so strong, you know? You can't say that too loud, I think. Don't tell a lot of people that you haven't seen The Sopranos.
All right. I won't say a word. So this is The Many Saints of Newark.
Yes, The Many Saints of Newark.
Here's what's kick-ass. James Gandolfini's son, who played Tony Soprano, is playing Tony Soprano.
Oh, it's a perfect casting. I mean, come on.
I mean, his kid is Tony Soprano.
And he looks...
It's a prequel to The Sopranos.
It's a prequel to The Sopranos with, you know, the genetic, you know, DNA of Tony Soprano up there on the screen. And I, you probably didn't get chills the way I got chills at the beginning of this trailer when you hear Tony Soprano's voice in the VO. Again, another VO-centric trailer where Tony, right at the top, he said, you know, he says a little bit, and it doesn't even matter what he's saying. You know that's Tony Soprano, and you know that this is his origin.
Well, you know it's Tony Soprano,
right? But this is the origin story of Tony Soprano,
right? Right. But I love they took a page out of Star Wars.
Mm. Midichlorian,
right? You know, because it's like the many. No, but it's like the many saints of Newark, a soprano story.
Oh, okay. A soprano story. Yeah.
Right. Instead, it's like, you know, it's like whatever Rogue One, a Star Wars story, you know, and a soprano story. So
I thought you were talking about when they're the principal and he's a genius. I thought that was like a high midichlorian count.
Oh, there you go.
The genius is strong with this one.
the mob is strong with this one. Yeah. But even at the end, though, I mean, the two reveals, one being Ray Liotta.
Oh, love it.
That was incredible because, you know, looking at Goodfellas and just the mob history there.
Yeah.
And then the Alabama 3 song, you know, this morning, you know, and it goes back to the show. It was like, I mean, okay, I shouldn't say I never saw The Sopranos. I've seen a couple episodes, but I never really got into it. So I know enough about it from like theme songs and all that stuff, you know, but undeniable. It looks amazing. I can't wait. It makes me want to finally go watch The Sopranos, get HBO Max, and just plow through. I'm excited, man. I love this stuff.
And let's talk a little bit about the meta of this. It's like, you know, a lot of people harped on Sopranos for going on too long, you know, and the last seasons.
But that's a lot of shows, though, right? A
lot of shows, right?
You sent me the thing today about the Nerdist.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
Is that what you're getting to?
Well, a little bit. But I'm saying, so The Many Saints of Newark,
okay,
it's a movie. It sold itself as a movie. It doesn't matter, you know, like it's whatever it is. It can be the first of many movies. It can be a standalone movie that just does really well for the streamer, HBO Max, and you know, Warner Brothers in general. And then on top of that, for people like you who, you know, seen a couple Sopranos, or, you know, I think you're in a minority where liking, you know, Goodfellas and Godfather and all that stuff, it was shocking to me that you haven't seen it. But I'm sure there's more people out there that are like gateway, you know, this could be their gateway drug into seeing The Sopranos, or like kids that are younger, maybe, you know, that Sopranos isn't cool, or now they're aging up into that space where they could watch it.
Maybe it's not that it wasn't cool,
or they were too young.
Maybe they were just too young to understand it. You know, why is the mob important or something, you know, or organized crime or something.
So, I mean, it is a genius play to kickstart a franchise that did so much for so many people in, you know, in the HBO space. So it is the perfect way to play it. You know, you don't have to do a limited series for something like this. You have whatever it is, 9-10 seasons of it in the bank that, you know, you re-trigger it. And not only people like you that never seen it, but I'm sure people that, you know, getting ready to see it, people go back and watch some of the Sopranos episodes that they know and love. So it's a 2 hour, they paid for 2 hours of content. But the return, I believe, will be many, many hours beyond, you know, a 5x, 10x, you know, return on their investment as far as hours and eyeballs in a streaming service.
How did James Gandolfini die? Do you know?
I don't know. I checked out. I heard about the finale kind of being anticlimactic, as are all finales at season 9, season 10, season 12, you know. People are always like,
yeah, I heard, like, I never saw it, but I heard it go into like the restaurant and then it just cuts to black. And I mean, but the thing is, it's like, how do you end an iconic character? You know, like, you know what I love though was Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
That final episode was iconic. I mean, it was amazing.
It was a perfect Walter White wrap up.
It's how he needed to go out. You know, even MASH, if you want to go there, I mean, you know, it's kind of old at this point, but
right.
That was like, okay, the war's over. It only took, you know, 10 years to end a 3-year war, you know, but there's a lot of shows. What I like about even The Wire and such is they told the stories they needed to tell. There were 5 episodes, if you want to look at a season being an episode.
Okay.
There were 5 episodes. Each one covered a different piece of corruption.
A different angle, a different facet, yeah.
A different angle of corruption in Baltimore, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They told what they needed to tell and it just ended it. There wasn't anything dramatic. There wasn't anything. It was just, I don't remember the cop's name, but he just kind of just cracked a smoke and just looked over at the city and he was just like, yeah, I'm a cop, and it just ended.
Done. It's over. Yeah.
So I kind of like those endings. I never saw The Sopranos end, but maybe it's fitting for what it was. You know, did he get whacked? I don't know. Did he die of a heart attack eating a meatball? I don't know.
Does it matter? Is it part of this story?
Does it matter even?
No, it's not. The part of his story was his life when it was exciting, not The Irishman where you have to talk about it even after it's done with all the excitement. You know what I mean?
Right. And the other thing too, when shows, movies, series, anything ends, and it ends like, I don't necessarily say with a cliffhanger, but it ends open.
Right.
Like, let's say Star Wars ended where Star Wars ended, and that was it. A New Hope, you know, before it was A New Hope, was just Star Wars.
Right.
And that's where it was done.
I mean, it's pretty final. They all got, you know, medals, and yeah, they won that battle of that was during that film.
Right. Right. If I didn't get enough, my imagination could have taken it further, or George Lucas could have taken it further, or whatever. And that's how a lot of movies are, right? Like, where they end, and it's, and do you need to tell me? You know, when they hang Brody.
Ugh. Homeland.
In Homeland, and then they go on 9 more seasons or something.
I didn't.
Or whatever.
I tried to keep going with Claire Danes for another half a season, but I was like, no, this is.
Yeah, I fell out.
To me, this is Brody's show and Brody's, you know, triple agency, you know, and it was like, that was the thing.
100%. Yeah. Damian Lewis was the dude, right?
Ah, amazing.
He was the main guy. So the whole point about it though is like, do you need to carry on to just fill time to sell me a subscription or to sell me ads or whatever? Man, at some point, just like end it and release your writers to go do something else.
Yeah, or just leave it open. You know, you have Homeland end, and you have Brody there, and you say, all right, here's a world of you know, political intrigue and espionage and global politics, and bring me a story that's worthy of this to continue, and we'll put it a Homeland story, and you know, and recreate something. Maybe it's a story about Claire Danes and she's continuing. All right, we'll do a movie of it. We'll do a 2-hour thing of it, see how it does, put it out in the universe. But we're not going to like just take this, you know, beautiful brand that we've built over the past 4 years with Brody
season after season
and just pounded into the ground.
Right. It's like a Walking Dead story.
Oh, God.
And, a 24 and, you know, when story.
Walking, when The Fear of Walking Dead came out, I was in it. I was in it for that first season of Fear of the Walking Dead.
So were we.
And then it was just like, oh, okay, now you're just devolving into just The Walking Dead again. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Who's the next bad guy they gotta face? Oh, the walkers. They're just like background noise.
Right, right. It's the evil of man that is more vicious than that.
Exactly.
We get it.
Yeah.
We get it. You did it every season. Every season there's a Negan or somebody that's more and more and more.
Right.
The one-upsmanship of the bad guys in there.
But, you know, and that's a good point, though, is when is a show and when is that show enough?
Right.
I mean, Big Bang Theory, I loved maybe to season 5 or something. And then it was like, okay, I hung on to like season 8. And then I don't even know where it ended, 11 or something. I don't even know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Like I hung on, like, I think I watched it till season 5 and I was like a diehard, like, oh my God, I'm laughing every show, every episode.
Right. Right.
And then it was like from 5 to 8, I'm chuckling sometimes during some episodes. And then, like, it was like, let's pick up an episode here and there. And I'm just like, I am so done at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
You wore me down. Like, who's the fan hanging on to the end?
I don't know. Frank and Barbara, maybe. They like Big Bang Theory.
Even then, I mean, like, who's the fan hanging on to the end saying, oh, my God, I'm so sad it's over? Like, I'm just like, oh, my God, thank God it's ended.
let everybody go on and do new things, please.
whatever it is. And here's the thing. Other than Jim Parsons, I don't think you saw any of them in anything.
Mm.
Right? Like,
they were all too rich to have to deal with anything. They didn't even have to do it.
I guess. At $1 million
by the
episode.
End there, you know, it is cashing in.
Oh, jeez. If I could I only know, be so I lucky. I can only be. All I want is free beer.
So we're definitely going to watch this, The Many Saints of Newark.
Oh, yeah.
And you're probably going to pre-watch some Sopranos and get into HBO Max a little bit.
I mean, I don't know how many seasons. You said you checked out early. Let's say, I mean, we could look it up, but I'm not going to. Whoever's listening knows, and they're going to yell at us and say, you guys are idiots, but whatever. Let's say 8 seasons.
Uh-huh.
What is it? A 10, 12? Or is it's not like, please don't tell me it's like 25 episodes a
season. I think it was. I don't know.
Oh, get out of here. If it's like 8 episodes a season, you got me the whole run through. If it's one of the... I see you looking there.
I'm looking. Let's look. Oh, my God. 1999 to 2007. 1999 to 2007.
That's incredible. Wow. Time gets by, man.
Let's see the Sopranos episodes.
I know Nurse Jackie was his wife.
Nurse Jackie. Yes. 13 episodes. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Okay, I might hang for 13.
And then the last so they only did 6 seasons, not as many as I thought. So I checked out in season
6
4,
seasons
yeah.
only?
But the last season they did 21 episodes and it was broken into two, 112 and 19. So it's really 6 and 7, but they didn't talk about it like that. Yeah.
So it's like 7 seasons if you count exactly. like number of episodes.
If there's 13. But 13.
So 7, I mean, you're looking.
13's not bad. Not a lot.
Yeah, you're looking at 100 yeah. episodes-ish. You know, back of the envelope math. Yeah, you know, I mean, 100 episodes, what are they, an hour a piece? It's a full-time job. You know, you could knock it out in a couple of weeks. You know, I mean, 40 hours a week. You know, let me call the union, see if I got to put in overtime.
It is a mob,
after all.
ask your boss, your team boss.
I got to go to the union hall. Amazing. But yeah, I mean, you know, will I stay into the end? You know, my Uncle Bud's into it, I know. I'm sure Chuck is. I sent my cousin Chuck, and we always do mob stuff together. I sent him the YouTube trailer, so he hasn't gotten back to me. We'll see what he comes back with. We're going to see him tomorrow, awesome. Actually.
That's right.
And we're going to see you guys, too. So
That's right. So speaking of watching.
No, really quick, to wrap up, I mean, we're going to watch... Solid cast. We probably beat this one to death. I mean, you know what it is? You know how we're bitching about like shows going too long? I think we've gone too long. So what are you watching?
Well, we continue to watch Psych and it's going strong. And we as a family are just like psychos, which is what you call fans of Psych. You call them psychos because that's appropriate. And Bryce went to camp all week this week.
What kind of camp?
He went to sports camp. So they just do different sports all day long.
Sports camp. Okay. Is this like at a local high school or something?
Yeah, local middle school. But yeah, it's all kids from his age all the way up through high school. Yeah.
Very cool.
But while he's at camp, Audrey's at home working and we have every.
Okay. Working. What is she like? What are you ever doing?
Oh, no. She has a summer job. She's working as the media manager for the Gen Z Collective.
What is that?
You didn't know the Gen Z Collective?
It sounds cool. What do you mean she's a media manager?
So Audrey's the media manager at the Gen Z Collective. So it's www.genzcollective.com. And their tagline is saving the world together. Basically, its mission is that, you know, kids in Gen Z are the ones putting forth the effort to save the world. So there's tons of organizations that are run by, you know, staffed with, started by children, which Gen Z, they're still kids now. So Audrey's gig for the summer has been to interview all these different people and all those different organizations, and she posts her interviews up on the website. And
like, who is she interviewing? Like AOC and stuff, or
no? She's interviewing other Gen Z organizations. So it's just it's a collection.
Well, right, like the head of the organization, or
yeah, usually it's another kid, you know, another Gen Zer that's running this the other organization.
Oh, okay.
So if you go under interviews, in the Gen Z Collective, the middle tab there, those are all interviews that she's posting and posting pretty regularly now. So yeah, so throughout the day she does, you know, she does interviews and she talks to people and she's posting on the socials for Gen Z Collective. But anyway, long story short, during the day when Bryce is out, we have a backlog of the scarier psych episodes. So over the past five seasons, they have at least one kind of Halloween episode every year. And maybe there's another episode where it's a little scarier than most. And for those, Bryce will just be like, let's skip this one. So we skipped all those episodes. And the past 2 days, we've just been catching up. So Anne, Audrey, and myself, at lunchtime, we watched two episodes of Psych a day at lunch, you know. And, you know, we watch one episode with lunch and then I, you know, work on my phone or bring my laptop up and we watch another episode together. And we got through all of those. So we're all caught up.
How many seasons is that show?
That show is 8, I want to say. It's we're five seasons in. We're episode 5, season 5. And even today, people, you know, at dinner time, people are like, oh, let's watch the next Psych. Let's watch it. And I'm like, no, I want to make sure we catch up on the weekly stuff. We got to do, you know, Benedict Society. We got to do that weekly. We got to do Bad Batch.
Yeah.
You know, so we had to put in our work with our regular weekly episodes. Are you caught up on Loki?
No, we are not caught up on Loki.
Oh!
We spent all week doing Ted Lasso.
Oh, great. Okay, awesome. Well,
Ted Lasso, we finished.
That's well worth it.
Okay, good.
Let me just, I'll quickly give my, I have a Loki theory. Here's a Loki theory that doesn't, it's not really any spoilers, I don't think. No, maybe it is. Okay, I'll save my Loki theory. Remind me about Loki theory when you've caught up with it.
Loki theory.
Loki theory. It is a doozy of a theory on Loki. But tell me, Ted Lasso, I love it so much. Did any of the episodes, can you guess which is my favorite scene or my favorite episode? Or
oh god, it washed over me at some point. I mean, it was so good.
There's two scenes that I will say.
Oh, let's see.
I'll give you a couple guesses, but I'll definitely tell you.
If I had to guess, it was when he was throwing darts, maybe.
Oh, I love throwing darts. That's definitely my favorite scene. Yes. 100%.
Throwing darts was good when he's just kind of like
he's the ringer. He just, yeah, you know, he's throwing
just left-handed. I know. That was amazing.
He just levels up in that scene. He takes it and he's just methodical and he just levels up every sentence. Every word is so calculated, and Ted Lasso's such a nice guy, but this guy is such a douchebag that even Ted Lasso has to like expose his awesomeness and take this billionaire out.
Right. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And then, there was just so much over the past week, you know, it's like how many episodes?
I will say, so the Liverpool episode is the one that it's when he has his panic attack in the karaoke bar and he has to, he walks out and oh man, now I forgot her name. And the, you know, and the team owner has to save him outside. And just that humanness of that interaction, like, she's basically set them up for failure, and yet she's human enough to realize that Ted Lasso is also, you know, this amazing human being going through just like the worst thing in life, you know, for him. And she's there for him, and she kind of does it. But that whole episode is the gelling of their team. You know, they beat Liverpool, and then they take it out on the town, and every character has this great moment, you know, to shine. So it's nice.
And when she comes clean,
yeah,
and more or less tells him, like, I set you up to fail, you know, and I'm a terrible person, kind of the way she brings it across. And he's like, well, you know, hey, I get it. You know, like, divorce is hard.
I know. Divorce is hard. I love it. He forgives her.
Divorce is hard. It makes people do things they don't necessarily mean to do. It's pure empathy. He just sides with her.
How does he do it? How does he look beyond himself and go to that place? I can't. That's what makes it. That's why I watch it so much, because I'm like,
yeah,
I cannot do that.
I need to be Ted Lasso.
I can't. I, you know,
I agree with you.
I can't
you.
Go there.
I
agree. It's a fictitious place that doesn't exist in the world. And yet I like visiting there from time to time by watching Ted Lasso over and over again.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, to me, the entire season, the entire series so far, the whatever, 10 episodes, to me, that was the most human, the most emotional, the most raw scene, was that scene when she said, like, I set you up to fail, and he just said divorce is hard.
Right?
And I'm just like, who is this guy? You know? Like, how do you, like, you can't not fall in love with him.
Just like Trent Grimm from The Independent, you know? I can't help but root for this guy. Trent Grimm.
Yes.
And I will say, like, you know, this is in the context of a team, and you can say it's in the context of business. But I will say, if you are a parent and you get angry at your kids, just think of, you know, what would Ted Lasso do? And it is the most mindful exercise I could think of when you're angry at your kids, is what would Ted Lasso do? And you're just like, damn, Ted Lasso, you know, he would get disappointed and he wouldn't get angry.
So WWWTDLD.
TDL. What? Ted TLD.
Ted Lasso, dude.
Right. TLD.
Yeah. WWWTD. No, TLD.
TLD.
Whatever.
What would the spear's good. What would Ted Lasso do?
What would Ted Lasso do?
WWTLD.
TLD.
That's easy.
There you go.
I'll make a bracelet.
But yeah, I mean, overall, awesome show. I hope season two can cover the empathic human that is Ted Lasso. Such a nice guy. He gave glimpses of his own hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He hurt, yet he was cheery. So, like, I would say happy and cheery are different, right? Like, he was cheerful.
Right.
But you could see inside at times he was hurting, and he didn't feel the cheer he was expressing. Yet, he had the empathy to express to others that I feel what you feel. It's okay to be you and to feel what you're feeling, even though it makes me feel bad.
Right.
Kind of a thing, right? Man, it's like, to be that guy, I couldn't imagine.
Right. Oh, and then the other scene is when he loses it on Tart, Jamie Tart, and they talk about practice, and he won't go to practice, but he loses it with him in the locker room, and he talks about practice. And I was just like, that's such a great moment, because it's like Ted Lasso, even him losing his temper is tempered. You know what I mean? It was just like,
well, Ted Lasso reminds me of when you truly upset your parent,
mm-hmm.
right? Your dad or something. And they set up a scenario, or maybe you set up the scenario, or you did whatever it is that you did, and your parent is there, and you're just waiting for the throwdown,
mm-hmm.
and they casually walk through the room and say, you disappointed me. And they just go on through, and it's like, damn, that hits like harder than if they screamed at me.
You fall forward when that happens because you're ready to push up against whatever they're going to have, whatever they're going to throw at you. You're like, you brace for it and you like put brace up against it and then they got nothing and you just fall flat on your face.
And it's like, wow, like, yeah, I screwed up and man, I'm disappointed.
Now what? Now what do I do with that? I was ready for everything except
that. That was that Jamie Tartt scene, I think, is what it was. Where he lost his cool because he was so upset. Like, it's one of those scenes where most coaches scream and yell, and he kind of did. You know, it's just the whole show is great. I mean, I'm so happy that I was able to watch it and share it with you. And we get to go into season two together. Oh, God. Can't
it's
wait.
It's going to be great.
Lego Masters.
Okay.
Season two.
Uh-huh.
So that's out. We watched, well, we're caught up with that. I was worried about Lego Masters because we caught in a couple weeks late. But, you know, it is what it is. I was worried about Lego Masters because it's the kind of show where you, in a weird sort of a way, you build a relationship with the original cast or with the original contestants.
Right.
Right? Week in, week out, they're building. You follow them on social media. Yes, you follow them on YouTube. You follow, you know, and you kind of build this, like, weirdly one-sided relationship.
Yes, yes.
And then the second season comes out.
New character, new people, new...
new cast of...
contestants or whatever, yeah.
Lego people, contestants and such. Right, exactly. And they have glimpses of the previous one, and they made it a point to say Lego Masters Season 2. And the first episode, anytime they said Lego Masters, they said Season 2. The contestants...
new contestants,
everybody.
Everybody said season two.
No, everybody said Lego Master season two. To the point, it was annoying.
We get it already, please. I know it has the different people on it. You don't have to tell us it's season two. It's you.
I think that's the point they were getting at is this isn't the same season, so get over it, right? Well, after that, they stopped doing that, which I was thankful for. But you know, the thing about it though, is I was really worried that I wouldn't get into this one, wouldn't get into the characters, wouldn't feel for their stories and everything. And I would say the way they brought it forward, I mean, the four of us, I mean, tears were flowing at times by some of the stories, you know, like the kid with cancer, you know, and there's some of the stuff. And it's just like, okay, you guys won.
They know the formula for putting together the cast of contestants.
Exactly. Like, you guys win. Like, you know how to get us, you know, like you guys are the experts, you know, so far it's awesome. I'm so happy we're watching. The boys are like, they've always been into Lego, but they're back over the top into Lego.
What are they building in this thing?
They're doing it a little bit different. They're doing explosions. One, they had to make this 4 foot plus structure that had to survive an earthquake.
What?
Yeah. And what did they call it? The blockometer or something, or the brick? No, the brickometer or something.
Like a seismograph, seismic scale, Richter scale.
Yeah, like what is it for? The Richter scale. That's what it was. The Richter scale. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there was one where they had to blow it up with like glitter and such and slime and it's just as solid as it was last year. And you know, you wonder like how many things can they come up with, and they're coming up with stuff. You know, I mean, it's great. It's great. And then, you know, Tour de France.
Oh, good. Oh, tell me about this. Did you see it? Did you see that? The wreck?
Oh, I've been watching here's the hilarious part about it, right? First off, best tour in 20 years.
Really?
By far the best tour in 20 years. The Froome era, you know, uh-huh. Chris Froome. So you know how you have like your treadmill and stuff you're talking about? And let's say you set it to a certain power mode, right? It's like, I could run at this uphill for an hour. If I go like one step faster, I'm going to blow. I'm done. You know, that right?
Uh-huh.
Froome would look at his power meter and he would say, I could do 350 watts for an hour climb. And that's what, and he would win. So calculated to the extent it was boring. So you look at Matthew Vanderpool, who's a Dutch rider, midnight before the time trial. That's important to know, because dudes are riding their time trial bikes 6 months out, a year out, more maybe. They're doing wind tunnel testing.
Right.
They're doing like, I mean, they're calculated.
Uh-huh.
Midnight, he's with his team mechanic trying to figure out his position, gets his position dialed in. They realize he doesn't have a front wheel.
What?
They find a front wheel for him in Portugal. They rush this front wheel to him before he starts the race, like an hour later.
Oh my God.
Throw the playbook out the window. Amazing. Just the ridiculous of it all, right? The ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah.
The guy's still in yellow. I mean, he just races hard. All these people, I mean, the crashes, yeah. Getting to what you're talking about, the crashes. So this woman is sitting there with this cardboard sign saying like, hey, grandma and grandpa, or something in German.
Some joke, yeah.
Yeah. Here comes the tour. Dude, Martin crashes into the sign, like, I don't know, first 2 hours into the race, like, first day. Takes out half the group, the Peloton, right? The Peloton's the group. Takes out half the group. Takes her out, obviously. She flees the country.
I know. Well, she's in trouble. She could face up to 2 years
in jail. Yeah, they find her. They find her. It's so crazy. 50 Cent chimes in on this thing. The rapper, right? He's even like, dudes. Like, you know, he gets shot. He does all his stuff. And he's like, sure, fine her 10 grand or whatever you're going to do. But 2 years in jail? Like, what kind of a, like, what is this? Like, 50 Cent's in that. I mean, it is like insane when you have like a rap dude who's like chiming in on a crash in the Tour de France, man. I mean, that is when you know, like, the world
is watching. This tour.
The world is watching this woman crash out the tour. And then there's been like a dozen crashes after that. I mean,
okay.
This tour is insane. It is insane. It is so much. Like, I don't want to see people crash and stuff. And, you know, you want to see people attack and do the racing. And I know cycling's this weird European sport that I've done for, not European wise, but just I've done for like, forever. And you know, it is a team sport, which is kind of weird that one guy wins a team sport and such, but it's so amazing this season, or this
tour
version, or this rendition of the tour, this edition of the tour, that, you know, I logged into Peacock. I get up like 5 a.m. I'm watching. It's just mayhem. Tomorrow, I don't know how early I'm going to get up, but tomorrow it's going to be a shakeup. Vanderpool's not going to be in yellow. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So that's even for you to be like, oh my God, you're sending me stuff on Instagram. You know, I'm just like, I'm just dead into this, you know?
Everybody's
into it.
If I'm sending you stuff, you know, that's like.
Awesome. So how about you? What have you been watching?
Well, I told you the Loki thing, and I can't wait for you to catch.
Well, did you finish the Star Wars?
Oh, no. We haven't gotten back to Star Wars. We should do that.
Oh, okay.
So Bryce, this week and last week, he had camp, and he was wiped out from camp. And like I said, the kids want to watch a psych episode with dinner, and then it's like to bed, or maybe a second psych episode if they've been good. And then we watched Loki on Wednesday morning. I got him up at 6 o'clock. I just turned the TV on at like 5:45.
And he comes out like a zombie.
They both come out like zombies. I play the recap.
That's amazing.
To wake them up. And then by the time the Marvel music comes on, they're yelling at me to pause it until they get out of there.
I gotta brush my teeth.
Yeah.
No, explain to me this though. Okay, 6 a.m., you put on Loki and stuff. What time is everybody going to bed? Kids wise.
9.
Okay, 9's not bad. So they're getting your beauty sleep.
I mean, Audrey probably goes to bed around 10, but she's a little older. You know, she can do she's
But she's getting 8 hours.
Yeah, and she's pretty self-regulated. And because she's working now, you know, she watches it with us and then she tries to go back to bed, you know. She'll go back to...
This is a paid gig?
Yeah, totally.
Wow, paid gig. Doing internet marketing. I know, right? Stuff. Like, that's amazing.
I said, don't get used to this. This isn't real life. She goes, it could be. I'm like, fuck, you're right.
And then she looks at your setup here in the guest house and be like, Dad, it is real life.
Dad, you work for television and you don't go to work, so I can work for a
star. You work for television and you podcast and you're right, you don't work.
So we did that, and it's, you know, amazing. I think we're all caught up on the Benedict Society as well.
How is that now? Is that good?
It's really good. It's very, very beautifully produced. It has just pops of color and the tableau.
Okay. So it's very Disney.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little darker than Disney.
Oh, okay.
There's this there's the underlying story there's an emergency going on. And in the world they always talk about the emergency, but it's kind of a ruse, they say. They say there's no real emergency, but this is how they control the population, by just telling them that there's an emergency going on and everyone has to be prepared for the emergency. And it was so, it's...
Do they define what the emergency is?
And I think the lack of definition on the emergency is what makes it so applicable to the real world as an allegory. You know, it's like, keep people in line with, you know, wars or politics or, you know, whatever the theory is, whatever the thought is. And if you keep people scared enough, then they will stay in line and keep towing the line. So it's, you know, it's using fear to govern and to rule, kind of. And I think that's very similar to Loki. You're a couple episodes in, right? You have a couple episodes under your belt.
Yeah, I think we're what are we, three? It's four total right now. I think we're in three.
So the theory that I was talking about earlier, that I think I will just give you a little hint to, or maybe I'll just give you the thesis, is the sacred timeline. You know, where we've been talking about the sacred timeline,
right? Yeah.
And the sacred timeline is almost like a corporate... And you could tell the TVA is very corporate, right? It's like a corporate bureaucracy.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And the sacred timeline is the corporate initiative. It's the corporate mandate. It's what the corporation wants to happen. And any deviation from the sacred timeline, that nexus event, are employees trying to think for themselves. You know what I mean? And it's not a bad thing per se. You know, they define it as it's a bad thing for the TVA. It's a bad thing for the sacred timeline. But in the greater scheme of things, maybe it's not a bad thing for the entire multiverse. You know what I mean? Does the multiverse exist outside of the sacred timeline? You know, and like, and you just think of it in the realm of these huge corporations like, you know, Facebook and things like that. You know, the way that they've guided us into thinking, it all is towards their goals and what they want to do. So we're within the realm of what Facebook wants us to do. Well, Facebook's not a bad example, I guess. But, you know, we're all still kind of in it with Instagram. And it's like they've corralled us into this space that they control, and they know the future within this timeline. So that's it. But once you see the other two episodes, we can elaborate on that a little bit.
All right. I'm looking forward, because I'm really not sure what you're doing this, but it's got to do with the timeline, I guess, and corporations. So
yes, again, yes. We'll dive deeper once you've seen it all, and I don't have to worry about spoilers.
Yeah, I think this week we'll be all caught up with it. And then, yeah, we didn't get the Bad Batch either. So I don't know if there's anything crazy about that.
Oh yeah. Bad Batch is good. Bad Batch is good. I think it's not as fillery as I thought it was going to be. This week's episode was better than most, I guess. So it was a mission, full mission.
I do like the way they present the title card each week, that, you know, with that boom, like, I do like that. That's very cool. I don't know. Omega, I don't know. I mean, I know she's a pure clone. I don't know how much I like the character that she's playing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's verdict's still out. We'll see. But
oh, There's one other thing that I was watching this week, and I forgot that I watched it, but because there are times when Anne has to go pick up Audrey from swimming during the week, and I'm like, all right, I'm working. I have to work down here, but send Bryce down to the guest house. So Bryce comes down to the guest house, and he basically watches anime down here.
You may as well just call it the office at this point.
Comes down to my home office and watches anime. And there's only two animes that we're going to let him watch because anime, for the most part, like the real anime.
Are they too sexy?
No, extremely violent. Like violent and then.
Oh, violent.
And then scary violent, like, you know, hooded like monsters and stuff. It was just like, it's just like ridiculously scary. And
wow.
And Bryce is into it because he likes anime, he likes Japan. But even some of the stuff that scares him, and this is stuff that he'll just try to grit out. I'm like, no, dude, you can't.
Does he get into manga?
I think so. He's in all of the stuff. Anyway. But we let him watch. I said, there's two anime series that you can watch. One is called Haiku, and basically it's a high school volleyball team anime, which is.
What about Speed Racer?
Yeah, you know, that's probably dated. We'll see if we can do that. But the other one that I let him watch that is extremely violent, but it's kind of genius. It's an anime series called Cells at Work. And I let him watch it, and it looked like it was getting dark, and I was like, what's going on here? So I asked him, and I stopped working, and I looked up, and I was like, oh, this is kind of violent. What are all these things, and what are all these, you know, anime characters doing? And basically you're inside a human, and they're anime characters, but they're cells in the body. So it's like white blood cells, red blood cells, blood platelets, and then, you know, like the episode we were watching the other day was influenza, like influenza inside a body, like the influenza virus came in and it was like a anime monster, you know, trying to attack. And then, you know, and it uses the cells, but the level of detail that they go through to explain what the cells are and what they're doing. Like they have T cells in the bloodstream that are developing, and they use the real names of the different stages that a T cell goes through to develop to fight the influenza. You know what I mean? So it's like, and they pause in the action to give this anime style rundown on the power and the you know, what this cell does, and it sounds technically correct. I next time I watch it, I might pull up something and stop and like fact check it.
You'll fact check them.
But I think it's like, this is like pre-med anime. You could watch this and you could, you know, deal with something. And it's so funny because there are little schoolgirls walking around and they're the platelets, you know, the blood platelets. And somebody got a cut, and all the little schoolgirls are running around and they're like, what's going on? And they gather up all the red blood cells and they start packing the red blood cells into the cut. And they're like, the red blood cells have to coagulate in the cut, and the platelets are the ones that deliver the red blood cells to the area that's needed for clotting. And so,
and that's violent.
Well, it's just violent because the cells are people.
Oh, I
so like the okay. White blood cells are walking around and they're all white top to bottom, but when they fight with the other cells, they're fighting like human. They look like humans fighting.
But that's kind of brilliant, though.
It's amazing. It's you know, anime is like, I could take it or leave it. But this, like, if you wanted to see, if you wanted to do pre-med, you could watch this and say, like, oh, that's interesting. I might be able to.
It's like Schoolhouse Rock and anime.
Exactly. Hey, you and Father Jonathan, I think, said the exact same thing when I was explaining this to them last night.
That's amazing.
But yeah.
How'd your beer finish?
My beer is good and golden and clear.
I love it. You're not. So was that a 16 ounce?
No, it was a 12 ouncer. I told you, man, I'm wiped from today. I slammed like four cans of water when I got home from the
cans of water
from my sparkling water. You know, I'm a little, I'm a little sparkling addicted water. To my Kirkland's sparkling water.
Oh, that's cool. Hey, as long as it's cans, it's yeah, recyclable. Exactly. Better than that plastic nonsense.
That's right. How about you? How's yours?
Man, as it got warm, it's not warm, but as it warmed, it like became like nuttier.
Nice.
And pinier. Oh, it was so good. Very clean, crisp, clear. It wasn't like one of those like thick, and I don't mean to bag on hazies, but sometimes the hazies and unfiltereds can like, they almost have like a mouthfeel that's a little bit like just like thick.
Right, right. No, I got you.
No, this is very like clear, clean, crisp, nutty, piney. I mean, it was one of my, it's the way I like my IPAs. It was extremely good. Extremely good.
And these are, yours and mine both sound like great summertime IPAs where it doesn't weigh you down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, ABV is a bit high, you know, you know, you cut the grass and then you're laying under the oak tree.
It's not a day drinker at 8.5.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, this isn't something you want to do when you're like, you know, trimming the hedges. But yeah, it's I wouldn't say it was light. It definitely wasn't light in body or anything.
But
it was
crisp.
Like crisp for sure. Yeah. It was like medium body. I would say like, I don't know, a PBR is light bodied, right? Like, no, this is like medium, slightly heavier body than that even. But overall, solid, man. Solid. Bottle-logic.
Awesome.
Yeah. And they're out of, what is it, Anaheim,
yeah,
I think, California?
Right,
yeah, Anaheim, California. So, yeah, you gotta enjoy a good solid beer when you're, you know, when you're podcasting with your bud. So,
all right, get out of here, man. get some sleep. We'll see you tomorrow and the weekend, and it'll be great.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll be there. I don't know what time. We're thinking like late morning, and then Clarissa got off Monday, and we will hang out over the weekend. I can't wait. It's always fun.
That's right. All right.
I'll bring homebrew.
All right, cool.
All right, dude. Later.
See you. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.